Blog Talk Radio.
But I want you to understand that if we could divide this up into points and how much we've covered, we've got about 2 or 3 more years worth to cover it all. It may take longer than that, amen. Jesus is probably going to come back before I get it all said, but that's all right. I think we're live, amen. Pretty sure we are, and if not, we'll be live here in just a second. So I want to welcome in all those who are listening to us on the internet, on their phones, wherever they may be, however they may have tuned us in this morning. It's our privilege to to come into their homes, their cars, their wherever they're at, and I hope we're a blessing today as Faith Baptist Church meets together, and we love getting to be a blessing to other people. And I'm glad all y'all are here this morning, and excited about baptizing Ronnie after service this morning. And anyway, let's get into the Word of God this morning. Turn in your Bible with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I'm going to kind of refresh in your minds what has taken place up to this point. I'm going to start at the Sermon on the Mount, and we know Jesus gave that long discourse, long sermon that he gave in teaching those who had just come to him, and they had just come to him in search of healing. They had come to him in search of salvation. They had come to him in search of deliverance from their afflictions in this life. And Jesus had delivered them from all of that. He had cleaned them up. They were not the same as they had been. They came to him with burdens that were too heavy for them to carry. They'd been struggling under the load of their whole life. And what he gave them was freedom from that. Amen. He gave them healing for what they were afflicted with and set them free. And you'll notice he didn't just set them free and turn them loose and say, have a good life. He gave them instruction on how to pray. He gave them instruction on how to follow God. He gave them instruction on how to treat their fellow man. He gave them the tools they needed. He gave them a life tool, God's toolbox for life. He gave them instruction on how to walk. And when that was ended, the Bible said that there was a man who sought him out. As soon as that was over, a man sought him out because his, and this was not any just any man, this was a Roman centurion, a Gentile, and he sought out Jesus because his servant, his close personal servant, who no telling how many years had been with him, and evidently he loved this servant very much. He was very worth very much to him, and he was very ill. He was in a terrible, terrible, terrible condition. And he sent to Jesus because he had heard of what Jesus was able to do. He heard that Jesus had healing power. He had heard that Jesus had miraculous power. And I believe with all my heart that this man believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Christ. And he came to him because he believed he had the authority and the power to do all the things that he'd heard that he could do. And so he sought him out, and as Jesus was coming to his house, he sent out and said, listen, you don't have to come in here. You don't even have to do any of this. Come inside. He said, you just speak the word. I'm a man of authority, and I say, you go there, and they go. And I say, you come here, and they come. Whatever I tell them, when I say jump, they say, how high. I understand authority. He said, and he's saying to Jesus, I know you have all power and authority over sickness, and I know that you can do it with just saying the word. And Jesus turned to all those Jews that were with him, and he said, listen, I've not seen this kind of faith so great in all of Jerusalem. He had not seen people, the Jews, believe on him like this Gentile had. And it was impressive, this man's faith. And then after that had taken place, Jesus is on his way, and they're walking 20-something miles, And in the process, they come up on a funeral taking place in Nain. And we see this large group of people coming out toward the cemetery, and we see Jesus and all the entourages with him, and they converge on that cemetery road just before they get to the cemetery, and Jesus walks in front and stops the whole funeral procession, and the mother's weeping and wailing because her husband's been dead, and her oldest son, her only son, who was going to provide for her and work and make sure she was taken care of, he died. And she had nobody and nothing, and her whole life was coming to a screeching halt, and she was going to be on the street corner begging for everything. And she knew that, and Jesus saw her, and he had compassion on her. She'd never asked him for a thing, but he had compassion on this woman, and he walked up, and he put his hand on the casket, and he spoke to the young man. And when he spoke to the young man sat up out of his casket and was alive. And he told him to go and follow his, go with your mother. He didn't say follow me. He said go with you. He told him to go with his mother. He turned him over to his mother to take care of her. And Jesus was a very compassionate Savior, amen? Not just coming to die for sinners, but he came to bring healing. He came to give compassion. And folks, we need to remember that we're to walk in the steps of our Savior. We're to be a compassionate people. We're not to be a selfish and all for us and get out of my way. I'm doing my thing and you're just in my way. No, we're to look around and see. I think I said it last Sunday. I think it was when I said it, Ronnie. I can't remember. I said there's two kind of people in this world. There's the here I am person and the there you are person. I clarified that a little bit. The here I am person said, look at me. Look how great I am. Hey, I'm here. I'm better than all of y'all. But the there you are person says, hey, I'm here to help you. And that's two different kinds of people. And that's the only two kinds there are in this world. There's either those that are selfish or those who are giving. Amen? And we're to be like Christ and that we're to be giving. Amen? All right. So, let's pick up from there and let's look at and see what else happens. Amen? So, if you look down in chapter 7 of Luke, if you, are you there? Luke chapter 7? All right, look down at verse 17. All right. The Bible says in verse 17, and this rumor of him, this rumor, this report of him, this the word of what he had done, how he had healed all them people there when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, and all them people were freed from all their problems and all their afflictions, rather, not their problems, but their afflictions and their diseases, and how that the centurion was healed and how the widow's son was raised. All that began to spread like wildfire throughout the countryside. Have you heard of this man? Do you know who this man is? Have you seen this man? You've got to come see this man. So everybody began hearing about all that was going on. Now listen, verse 18, it says, and the disciples of John showed him of all these things. The disciples, now you remember John was baptized in the River Jordan. All them people came flocking out to get baptized by John. Well, them people are hearing of it too. All right? And they start telling him all these things are happening, John. Now notice verse 19. We're going to read verse 19 through 35, and then we're going to go back and look at it. All right? All right. The Bible says that John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? In that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way, thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the publicans that heard him, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, Whereunto shall I liken this, the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another, saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, Behold, a gluttonous man, and a wine-bibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, I love you and I thank you, Lord. I come before your presence this morning. And Lord, I ask you please to help me, Lord, to preach the word just like you want it preached. Lord, I don't want to do it any way but your way. Lord, I don't want to say anything but what you want said. Father, I know that, Lord, the best I offer is nothing. It's pure weakness. Lord God, I have to have your power. Lord, I pray, Father, in spite of me, Lord, you'd pour out your Spirit on me. Lord, I pray, Father, that Lord, I wouldn't hinder it all. Lord, I pray you be at the forefront of everything. Lord, you speak through this vessel. Lord, you use me. Lord, I put myself in your hands. I throw myself on the mercy of the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Lord, that Jesus be magnified and glorified this morning. Lord, that his name be lifted up. Lord, that he be magnified. Lord, that his magnificence would come through. Lord, that I'd not stand in the way of any of that. Father, I pray for your power. I pray, Lord, for the word of God to come forth in power. I pray, Lord, that you'd use the word of God today to speak to our hearts and talk to us, Lord. Show us our way. Show us, Lord, who we are. Show us what we are. Father, I pray for anyone who's listening to me under the sound of my voice, who's not 100% certain beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that if they close their eyes in death, that they'd awaken in glory. Lord, I pray this be the day they come under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. I pray this be the day, Lord, that they're troubled about their sin. Lord, that they realize they're sinners in the hands of an angry God. And Lord, I pray that they make peace with you, Lord, the only way they possibly can, which is to come and humble themselves under your power, under your word, Father, and that they'll come to Jesus Christ who died for them, who was buried and rose from the grave. And Lord, they'll come to him for the gift of salvation. Lord, that's been bought and paid for, and all they have to do is believe and receive it. Lord God, I pray this be the day of salvation for someone. Lord, I pray that, Lord, your power be felt, and I pray, Lord, it happen now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. The first time I ever read this passage of Scripture, I kind of went, huh? What in the world, John? We think of doubting Thomas. But John, here it almost seems like John the Baptist is full of doubt. And I want to clarify this because I don't want you going away thinking John the Baptist, man, all of a sudden he's doubting who Jesus is. Because I want you to understand that's not really the case. But John is asking a question. John is saying this, is Jesus the Messiah? That's the question he's asking. Is Jesus the Messiah? All right, we're going to do a little Bible drill this morning. We're going to turn back just barely into the Old Testament. We're going to start looking in Micah, okay? So if you get to where the Old Testament ends, you'll be in Malachi. Go back another chapter, that's Zechariah. And the one right before that is Micah. So if you got your Bible, turn there to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Shouldn't take us long to get there. We just turned barely back into the Old Testament. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Have you found that? Almost. You're going to see some prophecies regarding the Messiah. Okay? Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2. The Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah," I don't know how you say that exactly, but anyway, "Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." All right? That's prophecy regarding the Messiah. That's prophecy regarding Jesus Christ. Where was Jesus born? In Bethlehem, away in a manger. Amen. No crib for a bed. He was born in a manger. He was placed in a manger, in a cattle trough, in a stall behind a little inn in Bethlehem, Judea. All right? Let's look in Zechariah, which is the next book toward the New Testament. We're just in Micah. Turn to Zechariah. Chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah 9, verse 9. All right. Chapter 9, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass." Now, that speaks to something that had not happened yet in Scripture as we're reading. This speaks of Jesus' triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, riding on a small donkey, a colt that was found tied and that Jesus sent them to get. It was one that he said, "Go to such and such place, and you'll find this little foal of an ass tied up, and you bring him to me." And what did he do? He sat on him, and they threw down palm leaves, and they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna!" And they were praising God as he rode in on that foal of an ass. Now, that hadn't happened yet, but that's prophecy of something that did happen to Jesus. All right, now let's look at Malachi 3. That's the next. That's the book right before the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3. We'll look at verses 1 through 3. Malachi 3, 1 through 3. You found that?
Yeah.
All right. The Bible says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Now, who's that talking about? That's talking about John the Baptist. All right. "And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Okay. Now, John knew all of those prophecies. And not just those, and those are certainly great prophecies, but there's a lot more than that. And John knew all of them. But you see from these prophecies that it's talking about some things that haven't happened yet in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus' ministry had just begun, and John knows all these prophecies, and he hadn't seen all these things take place yet. What does he look around and see? John looks around and he's first of all, at this point, Jesus had not declared himself to be the Christ. Some people may think of Jesus Christ as Christ being his last name. That's not his last name. Christ is his title. He's Jesus the Christ. Amen? The Christ means the Messiah. All right? He is the one, He is God among us. He is God come to earth to save mankind. He is the conquering king. He is the Messiah. He is the all end all be all. Amen. And John wants to make sure that this is who Jesus says he is, that he really actually is the Messiah. So again, he's not at this point declared himself to be the Messiah. Okay? His disciples at this point, even though they know he is, he has told them not to go and publish that everywhere yet. There's a purpose for this. Jesus is establishing himself as who he is through his works rather than just coming out and broadcasting everybody, hey, I'm the Messiah. He's fulfilling scripture. He's fulfilling prophecies in order to prove who he is. Amen? Because you'll remember, the Jews require a sign, do they not? They required all of that to see that happen. Amen? They're like folks from Missouri, the show me state. Amen? They want to see it first before they believe it. So, the second reason, John looks around and he says, hey, all these prophecies of the Messiah, are, he's coming to set these religious people in line, it says. Well, the religious people don't like him. They hate him. That don't seem to line up. So wait a minute. You know, he's going to come in here like refiner's fire and fuller's soap, and everybody's going to get in line with him. But they're not doing that. Well, something that John didn't realize, that a lot of these prophecies are not for his day and time. They're for his coming back, his second coming, which hasn't even happened yet. All right? The third reason, it speaks of him being a king. Prophecies speak of him being a king, sitting on the throne of David. But yet when John looked around the political climate, he didn't see Jesus winning friends and influencing people. He didn't see Jesus getting in good with the politician and the powerful leaders of the day. It didn't look like Jesus was going to be elected or he was going to be had enough influence to ever be the king sat on the throne of David in that time. And so John began to ask questions. So wait a minute, is this Jesus? Is this the Messiah? Is he really? I mean, if you looked at him, he honestly, to John's eyes and to John's disciples, he seemed to lack the power and he seemed to lack the grandeur of the Messiah and everything that had been spoken. I mean, good night. I mean, he was born poor. He lived a meager existence as a carpenter's helper. I mean, here he is. He's living in poverty. He's dependent on other people everywhere he goes. I mean, they don't have fine clothes. He don't, as far as I know, he didn't have nothing to ride on either. They walked everywhere they went. And he's hated by a lot of people, powerful people. And John just says, now, wait a minute. Is this the Messiah? So he sends to find out. All right? So the Bible says, and John calling unto him two of his disciples, doesn't say who they were, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another. Jesus, if you're not the Messiah, surely you know who is. Because there was no denying. See, John's not doubting that Jesus is sent from God. There's no denying of that. John's just human, and John's asking questions because he wants to confirm. Listen, John's had a full ministry. John was sent to this earth by God, amen, born of his mother, born of his father for one reason. God put John on this earth to proclaim the way for Jesus Christ. He's the forerunner. So John's got all these people who've been baptized, and he's been preaching that the Messiah's coming, and he wants to make sure that he's not messing up. I think I'd want to make sure, too. I want to make sure I'm doing this right. Are you the Messiah? If you are, then I'm doing okay. If not, then tell me who he is so I can... If I'm not doing this right. He knew that Jesus was sin of God, so he knew if he was wrong, that Jesus would straighten him out. All right? So the men came. When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist, When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Are you him? Now, I want you to look in verse 21, 22. The Bible says, in that same hour. So, doesn't sound like that they were there very long. okay, in that very same hour, during the time that they were there with Jesus, he gives them the answer. All right, in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues. There were people there who perhaps were depressed. And they weren't foaming at the mouth and shaking. And there was probably some there that were on both ends of the spectrum. You had some that were just kind of melancholy and just they were depressed and down and felt terrible all the time. And they needed to be delivered from that. And then there were those who were possessed of a devil and had afflictions, probably foaming at the mouth, gnawing on their tongues and everything else. He healed them, both of them. He healed all types. He healed those who were sick. He did all that right in front of John's disciples. The Bible says he and of evil spirits, those who were possessed, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, or head back to John, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Now, his works proved who he said he was. And we'll get into that in just a second. But I want to give you a spiritual application that God showed me in this. He said, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. He said, how that the blind see. Now, yes, obviously, he touched eyes and opened blind eyes that had never seen this world. And suddenly, their eyes filled with all the colors and all the shapes and all the things of this world. And suddenly, they could see this physical, material world around them. But I want to say to you this morning that Jesus not only has the power to open blinded eyes to see this world, but he has the power to open blind eyes spiritually that cannot see the things of God. And he has the power to give them the ability to see the things of God that they've never seen before. And listen to me this morning. There are many of us who call ourselves Christians, who've been saved, we say, for a long time, and yet we never look and see the things of God because we're not looking. God, when he saves a sinner and he puts his spirit within that sinner, he gives them by the power of his spirit the ability to see spiritual matters. Amen. And he said, tell them how that the blind see. Tell them that how the lame walk. Listen to me. Maybe we've been crippled our whole life by something, by sin in our life. It's crippled us. But you know what? When Jesus comes in, when Jesus saves a soul, he gives that person who's been lame their whole life the ability to get up and walk with him. Amen? They're no longer a slave to their sin. They're no longer in a cage of their sin. Jesus has set the captives free that they may walk with him. And if you don't walk with him, your only person he can blame is you. Because the Lord will take you by your hand and he will lead you through this life. He will show you the dangers to avoid and he'll show you the evil he's protected you from. He'll show you the path to step on. The Bible says that David said, thy word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want to explain that real quick. That's just, I'm going to throw this in as extra. But you just imagine that this pathway right here is your life. God, he says through David, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Now, I know everybody in here knows what a lamp is. We've all seen a lantern. Most of us at one time or other, if we went fishing that night, we've carried a lantern, all right? If we've gone camping, we've carried a lantern. And you know when you're carrying a lantern, you can't see the whole world when you're carrying a lantern. You can't see a mile in front of you. All you can see is really right there where you're walking when you're carrying a lantern. You've got just enough light to walk in. And God's word is not going to show you the rest of your life. It's not going to show you the entire path from here to the end of your life. God's word is going to give you enough light to walk in today so that you can see the danger around you, but you have to walk carefully because there's stuff over there and stuff over there. And he says, don't worry about that. You just walk right where you're at. You just turn neither to the right hand nor to the left. You just step. You just take one step after another. The Bible says a man's steps are ordered by the Lord. God's got it planned out. All you got to do is get in his word and follow him and where he tells you to go. Amen. So those that are lame, he makes them where they can walk. Amen. And he said, and tell them that the lepers are cleansed. Now, leprosy was a hideous disease. Leprosy, it's a disease of the nerves. And what it does, you read about lepers, and they have like ears falling off, noses fall, loose fingers. And they do. And what it is, it's not that the disease causes their skin to rot away. What it does is it causes the nerve endings to die off. And so when the nerve endings die off and you cut your hand, you don't know you cut your hand because you didn't even feel it, because the nerve endings have died off. Or you've got something, a spider bit you on your ear. Well, you didn't even know it spider bit you on your ear because you can't feel it no more. So infection sets in before you know it. You got gangrene or something, and it's rotting. Now, what do we liken leprosy to? To sin. The filth of sin. And so what is he saying? He cleanses the lepers. Listen, you say, see, salvation is not for good people who want to get better. Salvation is for rotten, filthy, vile people who need to be clean. Amen? And what Jesus did, he touched the most filthy, vile of all of them when he touched the leper. They were the most filthy and vile people. They couldn't help it. That was a disease they had. And nobody won't touch a leper. But Jesus cleansed lepers. Y'all hear me? Jesus had no problem touching them and healing them. And Jesus has no problem with somebody who's been down in the very depths of sin, rolling and wallowing in it, touching them and healing them from their filthy life. Amen? And once he does, they're no longer a filthy person. Once he does, they're no longer vile. Once he does, they're washed and clean, and they are a child of God, evermore to be a child of God, evermore to share in his glory, and there's no need for them to ever go back to that life that they had before because he set them free. He said, tell John. Go tell John. Amen. You go tell John that the death here. Listen, I can't tell you how many people have sat under the gospel message and sat there and clipped their fingernails. I can't tell you how many people have sat through a gospel message and picked their fingernails or thumbed through a songbook or figured out something on their phone, and they've done everything in the world but listen to the Bible. How many people, I wonder, have sat and heard me give a gospel message over the years, down through the years? How many have heard the message but ignored the message? Listen, it's possible to do that. I know. I used to be in insurance school. I know. I've sat through many of them lessons, and I didn't hear a word. Amen? Because I didn't want to. I wasn't interested. But listen, there's people like that comes to church. They're just there because somebody invited them. They're just there because somebody's mama wanted them to come or daddy wanted them to come, or they're there because they made to be there. Not because they want to be, so they bear it. They sit through it. Or they just come because they want to be around people and they ain't got a lot of friends, so they just come for the friendship or the fellowship or the food or whatever the reason why it may be, why they come to God's house, but they're not there to hear. Jesus said, listen, the deaf hear. There are those who couldn't ever hear it before, but I want to tell you something. Listen, when God starts working on your heart, when God starts speaking to your heart, you can't run from God. God has the power to open up those ears that were deaf, where not only does the word go past as it goes in, it sinks down. Listen, when God's speaking to you, you can't ignore it. You might can ignore me, but you can't ignore it when God starts speaking to you. God will trouble you. God will make you where you feel like, I don't know if I can make it through the day or not. Something's got to take place. I got to get saved. Amen. God can open deaf ears and they hear for the first time what he's saying to them. Amen. The dead are raised. God, and we saw that last week, all Jesus had to do was reach out and speak to that man. He spoke to him. The word of God can take a dead man and make him live. Amen? I'm telling you, listen, I was dead once upon a time. I was dead. You were dead. You saved this morning. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead. You didn't have a home in heaven. God hadn't wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life yet. Listen, you were the enemy of God, and God, in his mercy and his grace, had compassion on you and allowed somebody to carry the gospel message to where you were at, and you heard the gospel and believed the message of the gospel and turned to Christ and believed and was born again. Amen? Now, praise God. Listen to me. The dead are raised. I was dead. I had no life in me. Let me explain something to you. All of us that are saved this morning are a trichotomy. That means three parts. Okay? We are body, soul, and spirit. Amen? All right? Just like God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we are body, soul, and spirit. Now, before you came to Christ and got born again, you were not body, soul, and spirit. You were body and soul. You were a dichotomy, a two-part being. But the Bible tells us that when we get saved, the Spirit of God quickens our spirit or brings it to life, and we are then a new creature in Christ Jesus. We have a part of us that now speaks to God and communes with God. Your spirit don't talk to men. Your spirit don't relate to men. Your spirit relates to God only. Amen? And some of us are starving our spirit to death, by the way. But just to hit that for just a second. But anyway, and he said, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Yes, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. Yes, Jesus, he spoke to all of them. But if you'll notice through his ministry, his primary ministry was to the poor. Those were the ones, that's why people couldn't understand, is this the Messiah or not? Because, see, he's going down here to the people nobody wants to talk to. He's out here fooling with people that everybody else has thrown away. He ain't going to do much with that kind of crowd, I'm sure them Pharisees said. Oh, that Jesus, he thinks he's going to reach the world. Look at him. He's down there fooling with filthy folk. They ain't good as we are. You see, them people stood back and watched him, and they said, listen, this can't be nothing good. He's down there fooling with people everybody else won't fool with. He's not a real righteous man, or he wouldn't be down there with them. Now, we're going to look at that in just a second. But, again, Jesus told him, he said, you go tell John. Again, tell him what you've seen and heard. How the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, poor, the gospel is preached. Don't you turn back to Isaiah, if you know where that's at. If you don't worry about it. I'll read it to you. But Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 verse 1, and this is certainly a prophetic scripture speaking of Jesus, and it's actually the one he read when he first went into the temple and stood up and read, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the opening and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness in the planting of the Lord, and that he might be glorified. He's telling them in a nutshell, this is what I've come to do. Amen? He preached the poor the gospel. And what did the gospel do to those that were poor? Can I tell you something? It made them rich. When the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached to you and you believe the gospel, you become a rich man or a rich woman. You say, how is that so? I ain't got nothing different than I had before. You've got riches you don't even know of yet. You got it right. You got riches. But it's not just in our heart. We got riches waiting on us we don't even know anything about. You see, when I became a child of God, I became a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Everything that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ belongs to me. God said. I didn't say God said. Amen. It belongs to me. I don't deserve that. I mean, I'm blown away, humbled by the fact that God's going to give me, entitled me to everything that Jesus has. But I'll have a body like he has. A perfect body that'll never die, never get diseased, never sin, never fail him, never fail me, never fail anybody. It'll be perfect. It'll never die. Amen. Praise God. I'll be in a perfect place. I'll be walking around streets of gold and the most beautiful place has ever been. And I'll be with him. And I'll be in the presence of God forevermore. I'll have all the power he has. Amen. Listen, I thank God for that. I don't understand that. My brain can't wrap around that. But I know that God said it's true. So I'm rich beyond my wildest imagination, even though you can't see it by looking at me today. Amen? My bank account don't reflect it, but I can tell you there's one in glory that does. Hallelujah. And I ain't talking about money, but I'm talking about riches. Amen. Riches are not money. Amen. Riches, listen, riches is having everything you need. Amen. And when I get to heaven, I'll have everything in the world that I've ever needed and ever will need. Amen. Now, Jesus made this statement in verse 23. He said, and blessed is he whosoever is shall not be offended in me. Offended in him. Whoever doesn't oppose me is blessed. Amen. You see, John's question was, is this him? Is this really him? Is this? He said, look. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what's going on. I am him. Don't be offended by me. There's too many people today, again, they look at him like the religious crowd of that day looked at him. They look at him and they say, well, that can't be the Messiah. That can't be him. Look how humble he is. Again, he didn't have nothing. He comes from nothing beginnings. He's 30 years old, and he still ain't got nothing. I mean, he's just got a bunch of ragtag people following him around. He got people following him around, got dirt all up underneath their fingernails. I mean, ain't got good haircuts, ain't got good clothes to wear. Some of them been out there fishing, digging worms out the ground. They're nasty from head to toe. I mean, you got a tax man following him around. I mean, they looked at Jesus' crowd. They said, listen, really? That's what the religious crowd did. They looked at him and said, you really expect us to believe that this man came from God? They were offended at him. Now, I ain't talking about John's disciples. I'm talking about the religious crowd that stood back and watched. They mistook his humility for weakness. He ain't nothing. If he was somebody, look, he'd be dressed a whole lot better than that. If he was really somebody, he'd be running with a lot better crowd than he's running with. That's what they thought. They looked at his poverty. He ain't got nothing. I mean, he ain't got a home to lay down in at night. He ain't got nothing to ride on. I mean, he ain't got nothing. And they mistook that for powerlessness. Who is he? He ain't nobody. That's what they thought. And I tell you something else, too. People today, they look around and they say, well, where's Jesus? Been 2,017 years, no Jesus. Where's Jesus? He's coming. They take the fact that he has not been come yet for the fact that they believe that he's not coming. Amen? Just like people were confused watching him then. They didn't understand because they're looking at him through human eyes. And they're trying to reason him out with human reasoning. And they're looking at his situation rather than listening to his words and looking at his actions. And they make up their own mind. And what do? They get offended at him. Now, these disciples of John, they looked at it and they said, well, I guess this has got to be him. Look at all he's done. And they left. And the Bible tells us that after they left, the Bible says, verse 24, when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. And I've noticed that he waited until John's followers were gone. That he didn't want to brag on John right in front of them. He didn't want to swell their heads up, thinking, well, we're followers of John. We're better than all y'all. No, he waited until they were gone, and he began to talk about him. Verse 24, he said, what went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? That wasn't what John the Baptist was. No. John the Baptist, he was born on a mission. Amen? He came for one purpose and one purpose only. And John fulfilled his purpose in life. He did exactly what he was told to do. He went out into the wilderness. And he preached the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. He prepared the way. He preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. People would come to him, and he preached the message of turning from sin and turning to God. John the Baptist, what a great preacher he was. He was a man of steadiness. Amen. All his life, one purpose, one goal, singular, following that path. Amen. Not only that, he was consistent. Amen. He wasn't wishy-washy. He didn't give it up for a while and go back to it and give it up for a while and go back to it. He stayed the course and did exactly what God had called him to do. Amen. So he said, what'd you go see? A reed shaking in the wind? I mean, that's not what he was. Was that what you was expecting to see? Verse 25, he was a man of self-denial. He said, but what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. He said, this wasn't no fancy breeches, man. Amen. He wasn't somebody with soft hands that never done any labor. This wasn't a man who had the finest robes and dressed in fancy attire like the big shot Pharisees down in the temple who walk around so acting like they're so much better than everybody else with their heads held high, looking down their noses at everybody, dressed so delicately. He says, like people who live in king's houses and king's courts who have everything catered to them and they don't ever have to get their hands dirty. No, this ain't John the Baptist. He was a man of self-denial. Listen, he wore camel's hair, amen. He wore rugged skins and not only that, what was his food? The Bible said his food was wild honey and locusts. So basically he ate grasshoppers and wild honey. That was his food. He wasn't uptown eating a steak or lamb or whatever. I mean he was out there roughing it, man. He was camped out in the wilderness. He was living off the land. He wasn't uptown trying to get everything, everybody catering to him. He was living hard out there on the edge of life, preaching every time he got the chance to preach. He was a man of self-denial who denied himself so that God was magnified. Number three, verse 26, he was a prophet of God, called by God, not man. He said, but what went ye out for to see, a prophet or a preacher? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. I know it may not mean a whole lot to you, but do you realize that John also, not only was he called as a prophet of God, but John was also a priest. He never served in that capacity. But see, John, his daddy was Zechariah the priest. All right? So that meant John was born, he was a Levite. John was born to be a priest. Amen? And so God called him not to minister in the temple. No, God called him to a greater job, to minister out in the wilderness. He called for him to be a priest to God out in the wilderness. Who worked out there? Jesus did. Jesus didn't do his work in the temple. Jesus did his work out in the wilderness, most of it. He was greater than all the other prophets that came before him. And all there were some great ones. We think of Elijah, called down fire on Mount Carmel, destroyed the prophets of Baal. We think of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. We think of Isaiah. Think of all the minor prophets. I mean, all those prophesied of Jesus, but there's a difference between them and John the Baptist. All of them prophesied of Jesus, but it wasn't in specific terms. It was their prophecy was a distant prophecy of somewhere down the line, there's coming a Messiah. But John the Baptist didn't preach like that. He said, no, look here, here's the door. He's not far off. Here's the door. This is the only door. This is the only way to salvation. He is the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God. All those lambs that have been slain ever since Moses set it up, all the way down, every lamb that's been slain has been pointing to this lamb. This is God's lamb. This is the one that will pay the price, not to cover your sins, but to take them away. So he's different than all of them, amen? He's greater than all of them because he announced the Savior's coming, amen? Verse 27, he said, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Again, that's Malachi 3:1. Now look at verse 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. So Jesus said it. John's the greatest prophet that's ever been born. He said, but, now listen, here's this weird thing, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I read that and I was like, what? No, he's talking about us. I'm preaching this morning. I ain't greater than John. I don't feel greater than John the Baptist. But God says, or Jesus says, that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Now, why is that? I'm trying to make sense of that. I can tell you why. We got a better message. John preached that Jesus is coming. The Lamb is coming. You know what we preach? The Lamb has come and he's brought salvation. Amen? It's finished. Calvary proves it. The empty grave proves it. He has come and done what he said he'd do. He come to pay salvation's debt for all mankind. He bled and died what God required. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And Jesus' blood ran down his feet and Calvary's hill, and he provided salvation for everyone that would believe. That's our message. Amen? He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Amen? We're on this side of Calvary. John was on that side, praise God. Even though he had a great message, ours is greater. And not only that, listen, we preach he's coming back. Amen? John didn't preach he's coming back. John just preached he was coming. Hallelujah. We get to preach he's coming back. So in that regard, our job's even greater than John. And look around, we don't do no job of it worth nothing at all. Not really. We fail God so much. Oh, I wish we'd get burdened and want to tell more people. I wish we'd get burdened that God would show us how important it is in our heart, in our life, in me, in you. Not just me. I'm not the only one that's supposed to do it. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, and that's everybody but the preacher, to do the work of the ministry. I mean, I'm part of that. I'm not excluded from that. But it's not my job to do the work of the ministry. My job to equip you to do the work of the ministry. It's your job to do the work of the ministry, which is to tell people that Jesus Christ has come into this world, has died for their sins, buried and raised from the grave, and amen, it will save anyone that will believe. All right, I'm going to hurry up and get this done. I want you to look at verse 30. In verse 30. Oh, by the way, no, I didn't get to verse 30, verse 29. The Bible said, and all the people that heard him, and the publicans, that was the tax folks. All the people that heard him and the publicans justified God. What does that mean? That means they accepted what was said. They believed him. Being baptized with the baptism of John. Those that came when John was out there baptized, they believed God. They believed on him then. They believed that he was coming, and they saw what was being done, and they heard what he said. And they said, yes, we believe, absolutely. You are him. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against himself. Jesus was letting them know, you're wrong. You're missing it. Who do you think he said, what went ye out in the wilderness for to see? Who do you think he was speaking to? He was speaking to those in that crowd who didn't believe him. Those who believed him already, they said, yes, Jesus, absolutely. Praise God. Amen. You're right. But those other ones, the Pharisees, the religious ones in the fine robes and the little boxes tied to their foreheads with scriptures in it to show everybody how holy they were, that they read the Bible, they wore it in little boxes on their foreheads, like a headband, a little leather box with scriptures rolled up in it. I mean, that's ridiculous. They were show-offs. They were the ones who'd stand there praying, oh, God, I thank thee that I'm not as this here publican who's down there on his face praying, beating his chest, mourning over his sin. They were the religious crowd. And they rejected him. They rejected his word. They said, we don't want none of that. We don't believe you. And the Lord said, listen, here's what he said to him. This is Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody thinks Jesus is so sweet and meek and mild. Jesus would lay the flesh back. Amen. He'll cut to the bone with his words. Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? He's talking to all those that don't believe him. How can I, what can I say to draw a comparison so you understand who you are? And to what are they like? He said they're like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another, saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. Now, that don't make much sense to us for reading it. If you imagine a little kid, a bunch of little kids all getting together down on the sidewalk, they're all trying to find something to do. And one group says, well, hey, let's play wedding. Let's play wedding. And you don't know much about a Jewish wedding. There's lots of music and lots of dancing. So that's why he's saying, we piped and you have not danced. And they said, nah, we don't want to do all that. We don't want to play with you. You ain't no fun. We don't want to do all that. We're just not going to play. Like a bunch of little spoiled brats. They said, well, let's play funeral then. We'll just go around mourning. Oh, we'll be sad. And they said, no, we don't want to do that either. We don't play with you. We'll just take our ball and go home. That's what Jesus was comparing them to. A bunch of little spoiled brats that didn't want to do nothing. And he goes and he names it. Look here. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking. Wine, rather. And ye say he hath a devil. John the Baptist wasn't out living it up. No. Again, he wasn't eating their fine food. He wasn't down there sitting at their table eating with them. He wasn't drinking wine. He abstained from all of it. And he went out into the wilderness again, eating water out of the branch and drinking and eating wild honey and locusts and wearing rough clothes. I mean, he had nothing. And they looked at him like he was some kind of devil out there. Like he was that crazy demoniac who lived in the cemetery. They looked at him like he was some crazy nutso guy out there. You have a devil. He's possessed. That's the way they looked at him. And then you take Jesus, and Jesus is on the other end of the spectrum. Now look at what he says. And the Son of Man has come, eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. That doesn't mean Jesus was a glutton and a wine bibber. Saying is, Jesus has not separated himself off into the woods like John the Baptist. He's not doing that, no. What does he do? He goes up and he goes into people's houses and sits down and eats dinner with them, and he sits with them while they're gluttonous, while they're sitting there getting drunk. Jesus sitting with them and talking to them. And in talking to them is trying to get to know them and trying to explain to them that he is the one that they need to turn to. He is the way they need to go. He is the one they need to believe on. He's there ministering and trying to help and trying to be a blessing. And they look at him and they say, well, he's just an old drunk. He's just a glutton. You come doing nothing, and they say you got a devil. You come trying to be a friend to them, and they say you're a glutton and a wine bibber, a drunk. And the last statement, he said, the Son of Man's come eating and drinking. You say, behold, a gluttonous man and wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. No, he wasn't a friend. Well, I had somebody tell me years ago, they said, you know, I believe if Jesus had come back today, I believe he'd be out in a beer joint sitting on a bar stool. Now, I don't know that I agree with that. I know good and well Jesus wouldn't be sitting on a bar stool drinking with them. I believe if Jesus went into a bar, I believe that bar would probably clear out. I believe they'd all get feeling mighty guilty about what they were doing in there and want to get out of there. No, Jesus came to where sinners were, and he sat down with those sinners, and he talked to them, and he got to know them, and he loved them, and he had compassion on them, and he found out who they were, and he found out about their family, and he found out about their hurts, and he found out about their needs, and he began to minister to them. I'm talking about people wouldn't nobody else look to, because they said, hey, those people are corrupt. Those people are low life. Those people are miserable. Why would he go down there and eat with them kind of people? Because them kind of people needed him. And yet all the religious people looked down their noses at him. He ain't no good. If he was any good, he'd be up here with us. He wouldn't be down there with them. He said attitude will take you all the way to hell. What a man has to do is come to realize, a woman has to do is come to realize, there ain't nothing good about us. We're full of nothing but sin and grief and woe and misery down to the core. We're polluted. Every fiber of our being is polluted, and we're vile. The very best we can ever do comes up short in God's book. We cannot ever please God outside of one thing, and that is going through the blood of Jesus Christ to come to him. That's the only way that our filth can be cleaned away. That's the only way we can be raised from the dead. That's the only way we can have our deaf ears open. That's the only way our blind eyes can see. That's the only way the pollution of our flesh can ever be wiped away, is by us coming through the blood of the Son of God. And if we come through the blood of the Son of God, we will be changed forevermore, and we will hear him, and we will believe him, and we will follow him, and we will respond to him, because we are then his. Verse 35 says, But wisdom is justified of all her children. You see, those people, in the end, it's all, I can put it to you like this, it's all going to come out in the wash. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, in Matthew 10:27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen. If you're his this morning, listen to me. If you are his, if you have been saved, there is something in you that says you need to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have no desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then I would question whether or not you're saved. Because he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So I hadn't followed him very well, but I know I'm supposed to. Well, then I can tell you right now, you need to get up and start following him. Amen? Wisdom is justified of all her children. You follow God, you follow his wisdom, you'll see in the end that, listen, he was right, that the religious crowd of this day was wrong. Folks, he is the Messiah. He's the only way. And thank God we know that he's the only way. Thank God we believe he's the only way. And thank God he's coming back for us. Praise God. Listen, John had to clear some things up, so that he was 100% satisfied that Jesus was who he said he was. I wonder this morning, is any of us, we got some doubts we need to get satisfied. We got some things we need to get settled in us. Folks, there ain't no waiting time. You understand, this world is in a mess. This world's coming undone. There's hurricanes, there's fires, there's earthquakes, there's wars, there's rumors of war. The sea is raging. All the things that Christ said was going to happen before his return are happening now. I'm telling you, he's coming, and he's not going to be far off from coming. If you ain't ready to meet him when he shows up, you need to think about it now. There won't be no getting it right later after he comes. It'll be over. The Bible tells us that you'll have a strong delusion and you'll not believe the truth. God will send you, if you've heard the gospel, if you know you need to be saved, if you know you need to come to Jesus and get washed in the blood and believe and be born again, if you know that and you've heard that and you say, you know what, I ain't got time for that right now. I want to wait till later after I've done what I want to do, and then I'll get it straightened out. Listen, you heard it, you know it, you got no excuse, and when that time comes and when the Lord takes his church out of here, it's over. You'll never, ever, ever have another chance to believe it. That's what the Bible tells us. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen. believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. Lord God, I pray for the one out there who's, Lord, who's nearest hell. Lord, they're hanging over the mouth of hell. And Lord God, they're full of their own ways. Lord, I pray today be the day of salvation. Oh, I pray today be the day that the Holy Ghost of God convicts their heart, convicts them of their wickedness, shows them, Lord, that the only hope they have is in Christ. Lord, I pray this be the day, Lord, they come under that conviction, and Lord, they realize they need to turn to Christ and repent, throw themselves on your mercy, God, and accept your salvation through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray today be the day that they believe. Lord, right where they're at, all they've got to do is turn to you, and Lord, voice to you that they believe and that they trusted that Jesus Christ is their Savior. Oh, Lord, may they believe and be born again today. I thank you, Lord, for the message. I thank you, Father, and I pray, Lord, your blessing be upon everyone that heard it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.